This week's Falkirk Daft is dedicated to Ross's dad, Phil Wayne, a Falkirk supporter, a Nottingham Forest supporter, who sadly lost his battle with cancer recently. So, Phil, this is on behalf of Ross, on behalf of Falkirk Daft. This one's for you.
That's brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot, and it's gone in off the defender!
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in, it's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross, Stephen Thompson! Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips, it goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half, and that is incredible!
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Guess who's back? Back again. Falkirk Daft's back. Tell a friend. I'm not a very good rapper. Anyway, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to the first Falkirk Daft of the season 23-24, and we're still in League One, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, John McAnally. The kids are doing your head in now, aren't they? It's the end of the summer holidays. You've had your trip away to Mallorca. You've feigned an interest in cricket and golf because there's been no other sport on. But the Bairns are back, baby, and so is Falkirk Daft. Now, we can't remember how we do this. We'll see how it goes. But hopefully, the man sitting beside me or in front of me on the screen remembers how this all works. It's the ginger god of pod himself. He's back. It's Mr. Ross Wayne, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, producer John. How are we?
I'm very well, sir. Very well. What have you done with your holidays, Ross? You were away canaling or something, weren't you?
Canaling? No. I was down in South Wales for the first week of the summer holidays, so it was absolutely fantastic. Kids had a blast. The house, the property we had was literally a stone's throw for the sea and the beach, though. So it was fantastic. So absolutely
marvelous.
You got some better weather where you went. I think.
Yes, I was away to Santa Ponsa. I think everyone goes to Santa Ponsa. It's just one of those go-to things. Lovely. We went to the Pirates Village, very piratey. The kids did not appreciate my constant pirate jokes, you know.
I would have liked that.
I know, thanks very much, mate. But no, it was good. But it just feels that the coast season, I don't know why, I think it's obviously the season was short because of the World Cup, and it just, the League Cup just came around like that. It feels like yesterday we were doing this, you know, because we had this, there was the Scotland games in the middle as well, you know, against Norway and Spain. And it just feels a bit mental that we're back doing this.
Absolutely. But listen, I've missed it as well. It's been always good to get a bit of a break for something, but I think we're refreshed. We're fit and we're ready for it, aren't we?
Ready to go. Another League One campaign. Woohoo!
Hopefully the last League One campaign.
Hopefully. Listen, we'll get into we're going to speak to Sean Elderbrandt, who is the new voice of Falkirk Television, as we look back at the pre-season and the League Cup campaign as a winner. But first of all, we have got to say a big thank you to our brand new sponsors. In fact, they're not brand new because we had them on last season. They've our headline sponsors for the season. A big shout out to Peter and everyone over at Haldane Construction. They have jumped on board with the podcast. Thank you so much. Great guys. We reached out to Peter. We said, listen, you did last season, you fancy coming on this season? And he was delighted to get involved. You'll have seen they're really deeply involved. I was having a chat with Peter, you know, he wants to be, his company, Haldane Construction Services, want to be a strong part of the community. You'll have seen they've sponsored the Russell Latapy Legend. They were the first away day sponsors, remember, back at the Darvo game. And they really just, they love that link. And I was speaking to Peter, because Peter, you know, wasn't a massive Falkirk supporter, but he's just got into it. And then now, all of a sudden, on a Saturday, he's down there all the time with his wife, Marie, you know, and wants to be a real part of the community. And so thank you so much to Haldane Construction Services. Jumped on board. Listen, if you want to get involved with them, If you're looking to get an extension done, they do all sorts of services in construction and building projects throughout the Central Belt. They've been going for two decades now. Like I say, domestic extension, new builds. They've done swimming pools as well. I don't know who in Falkirk's got a swimming pool, but I tell you what.
You've not got one?
No, I haven't. No. The budget didn't stretch that far. But they do care homes. They take a professional project to approach to everything they do. Whatever size or nature of your project, you can be sure they're going to hold themselves to the highest possible professional quality and ethical construction standards while ensuring a competitive edge. Customers are everything. They are at the centre of everything that Haldane Construction do. So they take that collaborative approach to design, budget and the management of projects. Very strong, very, very important to them that they have that line of communication with their clients and customers to make sure that you're completely satisfied with everything they've done. They've won all sorts of awards as well. They were recognised as the one that Building Company of the Year for the second time running at the Federation of Master Builder Awards. That sounds really important. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to speak to Peter and the team, you're going to get absolute brilliant service there. Quality and loyalty is the heart of their business, and you can get them if you're looking to get an extension or anything done in your house. HaldaneConstruction.co.uk, HaldaneConstruction.co.uk, and you'll get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And if you want to drop them an email, you can do that really easily as well. info@HaldaneConstruction.co.uk. So thanks very much to Peter and the team at Haldane Construction. You're going to hear lots about them across the season as we progress. Big news for us as well. Falkirk Daft have got involved in a bit of sponsorship at the club as well, Ross.
We have indeed, yes. So last season, obviously, we did a little bit. We sponsored a match ball game against Dundee. We took out Goal Flash sponsorship of Callum Morrison, which actually worked out quite well because he scored a few goals. And and we sponsored Liam McCann's away shirt. So, however, we had a chat, didn't we, about what we would use our, so the money we took in last year from the merchandise that loads and loads and loads of people bought. So absolutely brilliant. That link is still there. So we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. But we sold loads of bucket hats, loads of t-shirts and everything else, dog bandanas as well, didn't we? So we decided, didn't we, John, to be a little bit more creative this year, we thought. Instead of just kind of looking at the usual stuff. So, before we even talk about the captain's armband that we're going to come on to, we did the goal flash for Jordan Allen. We've not seen a Jordan Allen goal yet with the goal flash, but we're all very optimistic, so fingers crossed. And we took a slice of the pitch sponsorship as well, which you can also win today as part of the Supporter Society monthly draw that we're going to do. So for those that haven't got a pitch sponsorship yet, you might get that if you're a member of the FSS. And we decided to get in touch with Graham, the guys at Falkirk. As for those that listened to the club's official podcast in the last couple of weeks, we'd heard from the two Grahams and Paddy, and they're doing an awful lot of good creative work there. And so we're on board as the captain's armband sponsor for season 23-24, John, aren't we?
Absolutely, and you will see that if you have a good close look at Stephen McGinn's armband, you'll see the Falkirk Daft logo. Now, what's meant to happen is that at the end of the game, Stephen is going to go in and a bit, and now this, we went down, we had a photo shoot at the club and all that sort of stuff, and I dropped in this reference and no one got it. He's a bit like Bret the Hitman Hart. Now, for people of the 80s growing up liking the wrestling, Bret the Hitman Hart gave his sunglasses out to some kid in the crowd. And that's what's meant to happen at the end of the game. Stephen McGinn's going to give the armband with the Falkirk Daft logo on it out to one of the kids in the crowd. Or maybe a drunken man. Who knows?
Yes.
But I don't think Col Donaldson got the memo about that yesterday, and he gave the
fans a bit of a clap and then headed off down the tunnel. So so rest assured, guys, I've already dropped Graham at the commercial team a bit of a message and said, listen, can we make sure the message is passed on to anybody who may have the captain's armband come the end of the game, just in case Stephen McGinn is obviously not on the pitch.
Yeah.
game. So
Stephen the Hitman McGinn. But I was absolutely mortified because like I thought someone would have got this reference. I tried to then got into this really awkward conversation trying to explain who Brett the Hitman Hart was to Stephen McGinn. So that was like all right, okay.
And obviously I knew kind of what you were going, but I didn't really want to know. I didn't really want to let on that.
For goodness sake, you just left me hanging out there. I don't know what he's talking about either, Stephen.
It was kind of, obviously, the pictures are now out there and my face is absolutely tripping me. That was nothing to do with Stephen McGinn or what we were doing. I don't know why, to be honest. It was raining. Obviously, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, but I don't know why my face was... Did you see some of the comments on the club's Facebook post about it? Obviously, there was loads of people saying, well done, guys, blah, 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 that type of thing. And then there was a couple of Dunfermline fans who messaged and one said, I see John Hartson getting the badge in.
I know. I did notice that you got the badge in right enough. So that's great. Looking forward to being part of the club in that. And there's some exciting news probably coming in the next week about that as well. Got to push a message out as well. Obviously, we're meant to be doing a night with Russell Appy just a couple of months ago, right? And everyone's kind of been getting in touch with us asking what happened to it. You know, to be perfectly honest, you know, we jumped on board, we got in board with this events company, they asked us, would you host it? We said, yep, no problem. We obviously supported it, thought it'd be a great thing. Colin, who there's issues with it. So we have been in touch with Colin and he has assured us that it will be rearranged. We are also chasing up because a lot of people haven't received an email from him, so we keep chasing him up about that as well. Be sure we will do what we can from this end to chase that up. But just so you're aware, it's not our night. It's run by another events company, but we will see what we can do to help because it's Colin, the guy who's running it, is involved with Edinburgh, gotten back involved with Edinburgh City and I think got his hands full with that. But we'll chase it up for you and hopefully that night will happen. October, November time is what he was looking at to try and get Russell back over here. Some personal issues with Russell, that's why he couldn't make it this time around. So that's going to hopefully happen October, November, but if you haven't heard anything about it, hopefully I'll chase him up and we'll get something out to you on that. Right, okay, Ross mentioned the Falkirk Supporter Society draw. We've got some brilliant prizes. Not done this in absolutely ages.
No, I've not. Have you got your Ukrainian Girls random generator ready?
I have got the Ukrainian Girls number random generator. But how many members are we at now for the Falkirk Supporter Society, Ross?
So, delighted to announce, following confirmation from John at the Supporter Society, they currently have 717 members, John. And those 717 members are contributing £8,530 per month to the football club.
And you know, I've not even touched on it because obviously it was the last thing we did in this podcast really at the end of the season is that deal has now gone through and now the supporters are one of the main shareholders in the group, the biggest, which is absolutely unbelievable. So shout out to everyone in the FSS as well who gets involved and obviously all the work that the guys have done to make that happen. Absolutely sensational stuff. Right, okay, let's get to the random number generator. And this one's not got any Ukrainian girls in it, just in case you're watching the YouTube version of the podcast.
I'm a little bit disappointed it's not, to be honest.
Right, okay. So we have got 1 to 717 members. What is the first prize today, Ross Wayne?
So we will start with prize number 4, which is a Falkirk Daft beer bucket, John, which the winner can sample in the Brockville Bar and the Kevin McAllister stand at a future home game of their choice.
Okay, right. So the bucket of beers, courtesy of our good selves, is going to number 124.
124 is a Lewis Wood. Well done, Lewis.
Well done, Lewis. Bucket of beers, courtesy of Falkirk Daft, heading your way. What is the next prize up, Ross Wayne?
We have a Behind the Wall gift voucher courtesy of Brian Flynn and the guys at Behind the Wall.
Brilliant. Shout out to Brian as well. Obviously, again, supporting the 50-50 draw and still running buses, you know. And if you do go down the Behind the Wall bus, you take your ticket back, you get a pound off your beer. Fantastic, right? So this is for the Behind the Wall voucher. Let's go. And it is number 517.
517. Is Mark Jameson. Well done, Mark.
Well done, Mark. Right, next prize up.
we have. This one has been donated by the football club, so it's a pitch square sponsorship.
Great. Have. You can. What? Where have we got on the pitch, by the way, Ross? What square of the pitch have we got?
We have a decent section. We are just inside the centre circle, so we're in a good space.
I take it because I'm presuming the go-tos were the centre spot and the two penalty spots were the ones that would have been grabbed away straight away, wouldn't they? And the corners as well, I guess.
But I think we're in the Craig McGuffey
area. Oh, in the Craig McGuffey section.
Yeah, I think we're okay. We're in a good spot.
Right, okay. So this is for...
the last player to score from that section.
Yes, probably the last player that will ever do that. So that is for the pitch sponsorship, and it is number
423. 423 is Mark Benny. Well done, Mark.
Well done, Mark. Fantastic. So you're getting that. And what is the star prize this week, Ross Wayne?
Star prize, again, has actually been donated by the football club. It's a brand new Falkirk Football Club away shirt from this new season.
Oh, listen, there's a lot to talk about. We need to talk about the strips as well. But this is for the away top. This is who's going to win it. And generating the number is 239.
239 is Robert Cox. Well done, Robert.
Well done, Robert. We'll get that sorted out for you, that away strip. Mwah! We'll talk about that just in a minute. There's lots to talk about, and I think it's really important that we speak to the new voice of Falkirk Television. He's going to come on, and he's going to introduce himself. We're going to find out all about Sean Eldebrandt, who, as you've probably heard on the highlights, you heard him doing a smashing job on Falkirk Television, taking up the mantle from our very own Lewis Connolly. So let's get on Falkirk Daft, Mr. Sean Eldebrandt.
Hi, lads, how are you getting on?
Great, mate. Listen, before we get started, you're doing an absolute smashing job with Falkirk TV. Big shoes to fill, obviously, Lewis. But I thought you sound absolutely brilliant, mate.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Like I say, it's kind of an opportunity when it came up. I kind of jumped at it. I've been doing commentary for just over a year now, previously for Livingston, and done a couple of games for Hamilton Accies and Kilmarnock before that. But yeah, when I seen the Falkirk TV vacancy come up, I was like, yeah, I need to try and get in there, because it's kills two birds with one stone. It means I get to do commentary, but also get to come back watching Falkirk. So yeah, absolutely magic. Really enjoying it.
Is that what you see for your future, Sean? Is that what you like to do professionally?
That's in an ideal world, yes. It's something I've always wanted to do since I was a wee boy. Like, I mean, obviously the dream is to be a football player, but as anyone who's played 5s, 7s or 11-a-side with me can attest, that was never going to happen. So it's one of those things. I've always been quite, I don't know, chatting and whatnot. I've always quite fancied doing the kind of broadcasty side of things. Ended up doing a course of like football commentary, match commentary when I was away at university.
Wow.
Studied like football, business and media, went down south for that, and kind of picked it up from there, really enjoyed it, and from there I've kind of started making waves and trying to actually get into making it a real tangible thing. So yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah, did you practice by switching off the volume on Match of the Day and then try and do the commentary yourself?
Less so of that, more kind of sitting playing career mode on FIFA in my bedroom, to be honest. that's probably the main one. But no, just as I say, something I always quite kind of fancy doing, and then messaging people and pestering people saying give us a wee shot, and then eventually you get a go, and seems to be going okay so far.
Yeah, sounding great, mate. I mean, you said you obviously did a commentary for these, but you're Falkirk born and bred, is that right?
So, not born, but I've lived in Falkirk for the past 18 years. A long-winded story, and I'm sure if my pals are going to be listening back to this, I'll be like, oh, here he goes. I was born in Wales, lived there for like a grand total of 3 months, then moved to Gateshead in the northeast of England. Dad's a Geordie, so Newcastle fan by birth. Then moved up here when I was about 7, 8 years old. My mum's side of the family is from Scotland. They stayed in Falkirk. And yeah, moved up here, and I've lived here ever since. So kind of got introduced to Falkirk through obviously moving up here. Kind of my first kind of links to the club would have been doing the John Hughes School of Football stuff when I was 7, 8 years old. Wow. Yeah. The community stuff, and then played for the community teams up until I was about 15, 16 years old. And then I've been a season ticket holder for pretty much the past 10 years on and off with being moving away for university and stuff like that. But yeah, that's kind of my long-winded links to Falkirk.
John, that's a link with you and Sean then, because obviously you've got a bit of Geordie fan in you as well.
But by the way, I think me and Sean should be really good pals, right? So he's a Falkirk supporter, check that off the list. He's a Newcastle supporter. I lived in Newcastle for 3-4 years and obviously I support the Toon as a result of that. And I'm looking in the background and if that looks like wrestling pictures in the background.
Yes, indeed. That's
this is the man I needed when I was talking to Steve McGinn about Bret the Hitman Hart, because Sean would have backed me up.
I was the wrong person to be that person in the room with you then, was it?
Wayne left me. I got this really awkward conversation with Steve McGinn about Bret the Hitman Hart, and Wayne just left me high as if he didn't know what I was talking about. Sean, you would have been there with me, brother.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm into the spandex ballet myself. You'll be glad to know I'm heading down to London.
Spandex ballet. This is the stuff I need to deal with today.
Can we just forget about Falkirk and we'll talk about wrestling for the next few hours?
Oh, you guys just talk about wrestling and stuff.
Let's ask you then. First of all, who's your favourite Falkirk player?
At the moment, I mean, early doors, but probably either a toss-up between either Brad Spencer or Tom Lang, to be honest. Like, they've both been absolutely magic.
Right, so that's your current. Who's your all-time?
Oh, probably Will Vokes, just for his kind of the way he came up through playing non-league, playing for nothing, and kind of made himself a total hero.
Who's your favourite Newcastle player?
Currently, Bruno Guimaraes, I'd say.
Bruno's the man. And who's your favourite wrestler?
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby! Right, okay, Ross, we'll try not to mention wrestling again.
I've no idea who that person is. No,
it's okay, mate. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's all right. So, Sean, let's talk about pre-season, Ross. Let's just open up the discussion. It's a real open forum because we've had friendlies, beating Bonnyrigg Rose 3-0, Morrison, Oliver and Honeyman getting goals there. We drew with Motherwell in a closed door games, but we missed a last minute penalty. We could have won that game. Beaten by Arbroath at the stadium. And then we had the League Cup, obviously. Spartans, bit of a struggle. We got there in the end with McIver and Lang getting the goals there. Away to Thistle, good day out. Apart from that last minute goal, it looked like we were going to come away with 3 points. But again, McIver and Aguiman scoring there. Then disappointing result probably at the stadium. You know, we just got a silly mistake by Lang and that, which led to Dundee United winning 1-0, where maybe we should have had a draw. And then the stadium there, dodgy first half. I don't know how we were leading in at half time, but we come away with 4-1. Just at the end. So that's been really the story of the pre-season. Roscoe, what have you made of it?
I think there's been a lot to be excited about, but there's also a lot to be a wee bit nervous about as well, if I'm being honest. I think going forward, we look exciting and a little bit unpredictable, and I mean that in a positive way, because Aguiman looks as if he could be an absolute world beater. He's also got a little bit of something else.
And then at other times he looks like he's never seen a football in his life. I mean, I think we'll get into the ins and outs and all that sort of stuff. I'm sure this will come into discussion, but Alfredo Aguiman, I am here for him. I have got every week for this boy because, 100%. Like, at Thistle, you know, he's down the left-hand side. There's a really easy ball out to Morrison on the left there for maybe a cross to him to make his way into the box, and he just goes. And then he just likes to take players on, which is unbelievable. But he's so big and strong. And then 2 minutes later at Thistle, he falls on his arse, gets back up, makes his way into the box, and absolutely smashes one in the back of the net. And then we saw on Saturday there, you know, again, a frustrating first half from him, I would say. And then he comes through, he's going through, he's just like, hit it, just walk it past the keeper, chips it out. What a finish!
He's got Cole Hero written all over him.
Absolutely,
a few games. I mean, as you say, he's going to be one of those players where you're going to have games this season where he's going to really frustrate. But he seems to have that bit of X factor, that bit of magic. I mean, the Thistle game. I mean, that was one of my favourite performances from a single player in recent memory because he just kept going and going and going. I remember it was towards the end of the game. I think it was. had the ball out on the far touchline, and he was going towards the defender, Waseedy Williams, and I'm thinking, yeah, just kind of hold up the plate, and he just like burns past him. I'm like, where have you got that second
that was near the end of the game where it was like two cart horses and they were like both absolutely knackered, just like who's the most less tired. It was brilliant,
pounding down the wing. It was unbelievable.
I know, do you know what? I am here for it. I'm absolutely here for it right now. He is just going to be so frustrated, but at the same time, I love players like that.
He's a maverick, isn't he?
Absolute mavericks, man. Love it.
He's been a big favourite of mine so far from the games I've seen. Same with Ross McIver, however, I don't know how I pronounce it. Sean, how are we? What's the definitive?
So, been confirmed it is McIver. I said McIver on commentary initially, and I seen on the Pie and Bogle forum, one of the Alloa fans was saying it's actually McIver. So, I got Adam and the media team to speak to Ross and say, is it McIver? Is it McIver? I think Ross was like, I'm not really that bothered. But McIver is the correct way, so
right. McIver. You, by the way, Sean, obviously now you've got in the firing line as Falkirk Television's commentator. You know, we had a message, tell the boy it's McIver and not McIver, but the man McIver says it himself, so that's that. Right, we've got to clear up Finn Yeats and Finn Yates. It's Finn Yeats, is it not?
I'm not sure on that one. I've always said Yates, so
I think you're going to have to check that one as well, Ross, because otherwise you're going to get tight right. for that.
Why don't
we
message him? Because remember, he's still in our DMs from last season when he messaged us to say he wasn't ginger.
This is very true.
Because we had made it to the ginger 11, hadn't we? But no, I think, John, offensively, I've been really excited. So McIver, Aggie Man, Morrison has shown what he can do in moments as well. I still think there's a lot more to come from him this season so far.
Brilliant free kick against Bonnyrigg Rose again.
Aye, absolutely belter. He's got that in him, hasn't he? So, but it's been really encouraging just seeing, as you say, Aggie Man getting a couple of goals in the last couple of weeks. McIver getting goals. Defensively, big Tom Sexy Lang, just absolutely fantastic. And I agree with Sean, Brad Spencer in the middle of the park as well has just been a...
Let's just concentrate on that first part, of the top end of the ground, first of all, before we move back. So, yeah. You know, we've obviously had the additions of Aguiman coming in there, Miller, and then McIver as well. McIver, the shite goal specialist, as he's going to mean, he has not had a queen strike or a queen goal yet, but... Brilliant. Listen, I'll take 25 of those all season if it keeps going. Just messy, scrappy goals, but the ball seems to be going into them. I think that's four and five, I think.
I think you're right. Three in competitive games, but I think it's four in total because they had the one against Arbroath. But no, I totally agree. It's one of those, say, like scrappy crap goals if you want, but it's one of those things. It's something we've been really missing in the past few seasons. The amount of times that we've had like balls fizzed across the box to absolutely no one's there. It seems that Ross McIver is going to be the player who's just going to be the big lad at the back post, knocking it in off his knee, off his shin, off whatever. But that's what you need. Like you say, it's those type of goals that could win you games, could win you a title, could win you whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Now, what surprised me actually in the League Cup games, he went with pretty much that, you know, across the front. So he's went McIver up, he's went Morrison right, Aguiman right, Morrison left, and then Oliver is that, you know, kind of link up number 10. What have you made of that, Ross?
I think it's all, you're seeing where it's working. I don't think Gary Oliver is fitting into that forward line at all just now. He was quite rightly subbed yesterday. And I think we saw when Miller came on what a difference he made getting up and down the pitch. I've no idea whether number 10's his natural position or not. I've no idea. But on the basis of the second half, certainly yesterday, he has to be a starter against Aaron next week.
Yeah. Is there an argument, maybe, Sean, then? Like, because Morrison, I think he's been sacrificed over to the left-hand side because of Aguiman in there. Is there an argument then maybe to put Morrison in that 10 role and move Miller out to that left-hand side?
I mean, potentially, if you're wanting just the left footer on the left-hand side for crosses and stuff, but I think in an ideal world, the way that you're wanting to have Callum Morrison coming inside on his right foot and then have either Leo McCann or if, before he was injured, Sean Mackey overlapping to try and kind of overload down that side. I think that I'm not sure how Morrison would fit in that number 10 role. I think Calvin Miller is an interesting one. Like he's came in, he's not played overly much football as yet, but I think the small amounts that we have seen, he seems to have made an impact when he's came on as a substitute, no more so than the game against Peterhead. I mean, he came straight out in the park and within 2 minutes or within about 5 minutes, we'd scored a couple of goals. Like it was instant impact. He spoke to us after the game, the Falkirk TV interview, and he was basically saying that it's kind of more natural role playing in that kind of number 10 space. But I think he was just saying, I want to get in the ball, I want to go forward and I want to create. And I think he seems to have that bit of kind of quality with his left foot. And he seems to really demand the ball every time that we had the ball. He was always the one that was coming and looking for it and trying to make things happen. So I don't know whether it's a long-term solution or whether it's something that will be kind of par for the course at the moment until Aidan Nisbet comes back, but I think he could be the man to play in that role.
Yeah, I was surprised he's not mixed it up as much as he had over the League Cup campaign. You just thought you maybe give Jordan Allen a shot up front. You maybe, you know,
White Sabring. Are you surprised? Because he doesn't. I love John McGlynn, but he doesn't change much. So he's not. I'm not that shocked. I think he's going to have to mix it up a bit.
I think based on the second half performance against Peterhead and the performance against Dundee United, you know, there was certainly a lot more pace on that side and when they brought on Hendo and Miller in that second half. It felt a bit more complete, I think. But yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't, you know, given, League Cup, I don't want to disregard it, but it's almost glorified friendlies, isn't it? In the way it kind of set. I mean, look at the mixed shocks there's been in that cup, as we've went on. But yeah, the front three, again, like you say, Sean, Aidan Nesbitt's still to come back into the starting 11, and we all know he is a favourite of Mr. McGlynn's. Do you think then, Ross, that Nesbitt will go into that 10 and Oliver will just be put onto the bench? But we all know he loves Oliver as well.
He does seem to love Oliver as well, yeah. I really don't know, John. Such a big first set of games coming up.
That number 10 role I think is going to be vital, you know, whether it is. I mean, there's Oliver, there's Miller now, we've seen that. There's Morrison that goes in, there's Nesbitt that can potentially go into that. And it's a very important role in that team, I think.
I on current form, and I know he's not played a lot of football, but he has had an injury. It hasn't he, in terms of like Miller, he's had a bit of an injury through the League Cup games, I think, in the friendlies and stuff. So I think we'll now start to see I don't think he's brought Miller in to be a substitute. I genuinely don't think he has. So I would start him on current form. I'd start him next week.
In the 10
position.
Okay. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. As I say, the kind of what he brought into the team off the bench the other night, it was remarkable how quickly things turned around, because as you say, the first half was so slow, so ponderous. I mean, Peterhead, to their credit, like Peterhead have came to the Falkirk Stadium so many times over the past like 3-4 years, and it's generally been 11 men behind the ball just kind of waiting for Falkirk to turn them over. But to their credit, they came 4-4-2. They sat compact in defence, but they came, they were really brave, and obviously they got the reward with the goal, could have had more. And we looked really poor in that first half, but the second, as you say, Henderson coming in, adding a bit more kind of steel to the midfield and a bit of quality as well. He's also a very good ball player. But I think, Calvin Miller was just, I think he was the kind of star of the show in that second half.
Right, okay. So that's kind of forward line then. So we're thinking Morrison left, he's done okay, he's always better on the right. I quite like the idea of Agyeman and Morrison. They did a wee bit of Thistle when they kind of switched. Remember the old Presley style where they used to switch wings now and again, just kept switching. I quite like that idea, but it's because I think Morrison's better on the right. But, you know, hopefully he can get a good, again, link up with Leon McCann down that left-hand side. Right, let's move into midfield then. So, you know, obviously, it doesn't look like McGlynn's changing his tactics. We're going with that 4-3-3 system again. What are we thinking about central midfield? You know, Brad Spencer's come in, really been impressed by him. His delivery from set pieces, legs on the pitch, and then he's in there with, you know, Stephen McGinn. You know, Stephen, you know, I think he's been a bit slow, and I don't know if that's the answer when you're playing at home, those two sitting there.
No.
What have you guys made of the midfield so far, Ross?
Spencer has to start when he's available. And obviously, he was suspended for the Dundee United game, and I think you saw how much we missed him. A bit of creativity, a wee bit of dig as well. Gets the head up, looks for a pass. Based on Saturday, I think with the current squad we've got, it either has to be Henderson in there with him, or Yeats, how we're saying it. if and when we get a proper fullback into that role. But I again, we've talked a lot about Stephen McGinn last year, and for the first third of the season, the guy was just unbelievable. And then just something, it could have been an injury. It may well be an injury. There's rumours that he gets sort of pain relief quite a bit just now to play. So I think he'll be on the bench more often than not when we've got a full squad in the coming weeks. And it's not a slight on him, because there is going to be games where he's going to be needed. They're 100%. But I think where we are the offensive attacking team, having him and Spencer is just not needed.
So would you maybe opt for a Nesbitt in there for the legs?
Quite possibly, or Yeats.
Henderson.
Henderson as well. Henderson moves, gets his...
Does Henderson and then Spencer in there make us a bit more defensive rather than having a Nesbitt in there? Or do you think at home we need the... I mean, I don't think we need the two, like, sitting...
I don't even need the two, but they're not... Like, Spencer gets forward as well.
Yeah, that's very true. He's more box-to-box than say, a Hendo or a...
And Henderson likes to get into the box as well. We've seen that.
Yeah, back post especially. He's always...
He does like to get in there as well, so... But, yeah, I think Spencer, build the midfield round him, and then we've got some options in there to kind of help him along the way, but...
I thought Stephen McGinn was decent against Partick Thistle. I don't think he had a great game on Saturday there, but I thought he was good and showed his professionalism. But, you know, you need Stephen McGinn around the club, and you know, for his experience and what he offers to you, because he maybe hasn't got 90 minutes in the legs anymore. Maybe that's it. That, you know, you use him and utilize him in that way, and you pick and choose when and where you use him. I'll be interested to see how McGinn gets that. What you made in the midfield, Sean?
Yeah, kind of agree with all the points you've made. I think Brad Spencer's going to be the main man in the team this season. I generally think that he's going to be probably the main creative force, like you say. Set pieces seems to have a really decent delivery on him, and just the kind of the speed with which he plays. It's one of those sometimes our midfield can kind of hold onto the ball for too long. Brad Spencer seems to get the ball, pick his head up, and try and pick a pass, whether it's short or whether it goes long. I mean, we missed him so much against Dundee United, and then you've seen him even the first half against Peterhead. I thought he was one of the few players that got pass marks, just in terms of picking up the ball, and the amount of times that he was able to pick out Callum Morrison in space on the left-hand side with a long diagonal ball. I think that just having someone with that passing range is going to be so key, especially if there's ever games where we're having to play a bit more in the counter-attack, if we're a wee bit under the cosh for periods of time. The rest of the midfield as well, like I say, Stephen McGinn, he's such a good ball player, so neat and tidy on the ball. I just think that at times he can maybe hold on to the ball a bit too long, does things just a wee bit too slowly, just takes that extra touch or that extra step at the moment. I'm kind of hoping that it's maybe just, I don't know, a bit of rust coming back from pre-season or whatnot, and we kind of see the Stephen McGinn of the start of last season once again. There's plenty of options there. I think that Aidan Nesbitt, as we mentioned, I think he's one that you don't really realise how much you miss him until he's not available, because he's got quality on the ball, but he's also just so energetic. I mean, you see the way he buzzes about on the pitch. He's always running, looking for the ball, checking his shoulder. You know, he just adds that little bit of kind of energy and quickness. And again, he can occasionally hold on to the ball for a wee bit too long and whatnot, but he is a kind of more attacking, creative player. And Liam Henderson, as you said, it's mad to think that he was signed as a centre back and then he's kind of made midfield his main role. Although obviously has played there in the past, but he was pretty much signed as a defender. I was expecting when he first came in, it was going to be Donaldson and Henderson as the main two, and I think that was probably John McGlynn's thinking, to be honest. But when he stepped into midfield, when he's had to, he's kind of, as I say, taking the mantle on. He adds a bit of steel to the midfield, but as you say, those kind of like back post runs, those late runs from midfield, he's such a big, tall, physical presence in the box. He's someone who can be utilised from set plays and stuff, which, as we were saying earlier about Brad Spencer's delivery, could be something that's really key for us this season. There's, like you say, I think there's plenty of options there. You've even, like you say, about Finn Yates kind of not playing his most natural position. He's another option who can come in there. I think there's plenty of options. It's just trying to find that the right balance, and it's difficult to say what it is at this time, but I'd have to probably agree that I think playing maybe, especially in home games when you're expected to have a lot of the ball, I think playing like both McGinn and Spencer, I think they're two similar types of players. I think you need to kind of mix it up and go a bit more offensive as well. So probably a long-winded answer, but I think there's, like I say, plenty of options there. It's just trying to pick the right ones.
Yeah.
John, see in terms of Nesbitt, is there any word as to how far away he is from...
So I think John McGlynn said he's back in training on this coming week. I believe he's kind of on his way back. I think he played 20 minutes against Motherwell in one of the closed door games. He's been, I think it's a calf issue that he's had. I think it was on the pre-season testing, like their first day back, he injured his calf and then came back a wee bit, and then it was a bit too early, but I think he's back in training this week. So could be involved next weekend, but might be a wee bit too soon.
I think when you do interview him for the first time, though, ask him why he's now decided to grow a moustache. is it just to make him look older than 60?
It's one of those things that I can't grow a proper moustache, so I'd just be jealous.
He looks like a 30s villain now, Aidan Nesbitt, with that moustache. You know what I mean? It looks like he should be sneaking up with a top hat in some 1920s silent movie.
Bond villains.
Right, okay, so that's midfield. I'm kind of with you. I think we need energy in that midfield. I wouldn't be, you know, I think Aidan Nesbitt in the central midfield role alongside Spencer probably at home especially would be the way to go. Let's move on to defence then. So left back, we obviously had an injury to Sean Mackey. Reports, I believe Sean saying 6 to 8 weeks on Sean.
Yeah, John McGlynn was saying and when we interviewed him yesterday, there was 8 weeks, he said. Obviously, it could be a bit shorter, could be a bit longer.
But the thing is, this is what happened last season, is that Sean Mackey got injured. Leon McCann was then put into there and was pretty much there for the whole season. And again, he showed up well. On Saturday, he showed up well. When he came on against Thistle, and he's got, you know, that what you say, the overlap that he can do with Morrison, and he's got a good, decent delivery of the ball, Liam McCann, a couple of strays on Saturday there. But so left back, Leon McCann, as it is at the moment, looks like the going to be decision. Now, here we go, centre halves. A lot of derision aimed at Cole Donaldson, to the fact that I saw someone in the Ken McAllister stand challenged him to a fight on Saturday.
When was this?
Like, someone on the, I read on the, if you want to get involved in our Discord chat, some of the Discord guys were talking that someone challenged Cole Donaldson to a fight after the game. Yes.
Is that why he's not giving the armband out?
Maybe that's why he hasn't given the armband out. He was ready to go for a fight afterwards. But, you know, there's been a lot of derision about Cole Donaldson there at the back. I love Cole. And there's been moments through the pre-season, you know, where he's made a silly mistake or, but I think, you know, at the clubs Cole's been, that'll be, you know, Inverness, Dundee United, all the supporters of those clubs will say that's it. But there's a really good centre-half in Cole Donaldson. There really is. What are your feelings on Mr. Donaldson, Ross?
I think he looks like he's lost an awful lot of confidence, and it's probably still in the back of his mind about the whole Airdrie situation. Well, it's still in the back of everybody else's minds, I suppose. Well, so, yeah, but yeah, in terms of how those two games went, I do wonder if there's a bit of a hangover still there. Don't get me wrong, I think bringing Tom Lang in is a brilliant signing. I think he's going to make the defence a unit. I would have Tom Lang as captain when Stephen McGinn's not on the pitch, if I'm being honest.
You can hear him on the pitch. You
hear
can
him as well. Yeah, him and Big Kendo are pretty vocal, aren't they? So I do think there's a player. I agree with you. I think there's a player in there we call Donaldson. But just now, I think he's really, really low in confidence. And if we had another centre-half that was, I'll choose my words here, that was of a similar quality and confidence as Tom Lang, then I think Colm would need a break for the team. But we don't have just now. We've got a youngster and Brad Mackay. And I don't get me wrong, I think Brad Mackay has good games as well, good moments within each game as well. But again, like Colm, I think he's got moments of madness in him.
That, would you put Hendel back there then?
If we had a long running, like say Nesbitt came in and him and Spencer were working really well, I would put Henderson back into centre half until Cole is in a good place, because I don't think he is just.
Yeah, thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Just like yourself, I really like Cole Donaldson, but I just think, especially the past couple of games, I really feel for him. I think sometimes when the things aren't going great, I think he's the type of player who it does affect him in terms of like confidence and whatnot. I think he is a massive confidence player. I mean, we seen when he first came into Falkirk, kind of early doors, for me, I thought he was absolutely kind of fantastic. Those kind of early few weeks and months, I thought he was really impressive. I think when he's on his game, he's full of confidence. I don't think there's a better centre back in the league. But the problem is when you have when he makes a mistake or when he has a poor game, I think you see it really does get to him, and it's one of those things that's probably not appreciated enough in terms of playing professional football. As the kind of physical sporting side of the game is one thing, but the mental side of the game,
NFL side, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You don't know what people are dealing with. You don't know what affects certain people in certain ways. But I think I'd agree if there's kind of a suitable replacement there, and Liam Henderson might be that player. Just to take Donaldson out of the firing line for a wee bit. But no, I do think he's a really decent player. But as you said before, in Tom Lang, I think like you've got the kind of the glue which will hopefully hold that defence together. He's, I think, one of the good things for like a Cole Donaldson or a Brad Mackay is I think both of those players are almost better at being the second centre-back. So one leads the line and they're kind of the partner. I think Tom Lang's that kind of main focal point, kind of I'll lead the line, I'll be the vocal one, I'll go and be the first one to win headers and then have a support defender. I think that'll really help across the season, and I'm just hoping that over the course of the season that Tom Lang can have a really good solid partnership with whoever it is, whether that's Donaldson, whether it's Mackay, whether it's Henderson, whether it's Logan Sinclair, whoever.
Become a bit of a target, and you just, for the Boo Boys, Donaldson, you just wonder if that is mentally affecting him, because you know, you heard yesterday when he messed up that back pass, and then it's getting to the point that people in the Ken McAllister stand there challenging him for a square goal, you know, after the game. I really hope he can get over that, but yeah, I think putting a Hendo in there, like you say, I think it would be an interesting way. I think Henderson's shown up all right at centre-half, but you kind of miss what's great with Henderson's, like we highlighted earlier on, those back post runs, that height in midfield, you know, when you're looking for balls into the midfield area. So I'll be interested to see what happens there. Tom Lang, I think we're all agreed, has been absolutely outstanding, certainly in the pre-season. You know, he's come in with goals. We saw that on Saturday. We saw that as well against Spartans. So the threat at that end looks like an absolute brick at centre half. Nothing's getting past him. And I have to appreciate the Ric Flair moment, Sean, yesterday when he had blood all over his hair and didn't want to come off. Ross, you won't get that reference. But yeah, he's looking like a right good player, like a proper good centre half. And we've been missing a proper good centre half at for a while now, I think, Ross.
We have. And yeah, I've liked him in every game I've seen him in so far. The only disappointment for yesterday, unless there's some rule that he had to come off because it was blood. But I expected the Terry Butcher bandage situation to come fighting fit back on. But listen, no, in all seriousness, I think he's been great so far. 2 goals in the last 4 games, 4 competitive games as well. He looks a unit. I think he is massively helping the defence as it is. Obviously, we need to talk about the elephant in the room in terms of the back pass on Tuesday night, because it was...
Yes.
There's been an awful lot of chat about it. People saying, oh, it was his decision-making, he should have just punted it. Others are saying, well, that's the way he's coached to play because we play out from the back. Having watched that scenario a few times, that's not us playing out for the back. Out for the back is when the keeper's got it and he's making a conscious decision to go short, that type of thing. I think that was just a moment of madness for Tom Lang, and he's probably watched it back himself going, why didn't I just clear it down the line?
I think we'd have got out of that game with probably a 0-0 as well. I don't think Dundee United are a great side. I don't think they don't look like a great side either. But yeah, it was a bad mistake. But again, you just hope it's not one of these, like Donaldson has a mistake in him. But I don't think so. I think he's going to be a relatively solid. I think he's going to be first name in the team sheet. And here's my early prediction. I think he's going to be player of the season as well.
And I completely agree with that from early doors. Like you say, he just seems like a brick wall. So confident and assured in himself. Like you say, how vocal he is, just the way he kind of carries himself. You know, one of those guys that just like, he just looks like a football player. He just looks like a player. Yeah, I think he's been excellent. As you say, the United goal, moment of madness, just one of these things that happens. And it's the frustrating thing about that United game, because as you say, I mean, I don't think they were great. I don't think we were great either, but it's annoying that we were defeated by the top seeds in the group, not by them being good, but just a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So Tom Lang was getting in, right back. Now, this is where we're having issues. I think Finn, again, has done a really good job in there. I thought, especially on Saturday, thought he got up and down really, really well. But we know he's not a right back. He knows he's not a right back either. You know, I thought when he moved into midfield against Partick Thistle as well, I thought he was really, really good and gave some much-needed legs to the midfield when we played against them. But we are in desperate need of a right back, and whether the money's there. Can we bring back the PE teacher, Ross?
No, we don't. I think even if you had Ryan Wilson, we'd still be worried about the right back position because the boy was never fit. I think you're right. I think Finn Yates has been brilliant so far. In every game he's played, whether he's been tasked with the right back position.
He's a cover, though. He's cover, isn't he?
He's cover. Now, very commendable. I saw a news, I think it may have been with the Herald, where he says he wants to make the position his own. That's a great attitude to have. And I'm not surprised in the slightest he's saying that, because he wants to play football and he wants to play games.
The boy plays for, by the way, that boy plays for the shirt and he plays for the badge. I saw at the end of last season,
yeah, you saw how
he's on the pitch, he gives 100%. He's up and down, he's in about tackles. You know, when he makes a mistake, you can see, you know, the frustration in his face. You know, a really good player to have about the club.
I think so too. I've got so much time for him as well. And I think he's done himself proud in every game he's played. There's not one point or moment where I've been watching where I've thought, oh, he's not done the right thing there, or he's not had a great game. There's been none of that. So this point of view is not coming from Yates, but I don't think it's good enough that we've known since January, when Williamson signed a pre-contract with Montrose, that we don't have a proper signed off right fullback at the football club. I don't think it's acceptable at all.
Yeah. I think, you know, we've talked about the loan market. We were talking about it on Saturday, and just hope when... I know it's open just now, but I just think loans don't happen at this time because they like to have the players around about the first team squads. So you're just hoping, like, come... Once the season starts and once you get settled, the loan market then opens to getting in a right back, because presumably that's the only way we're going to get one in, because the budget's gone.
But then a loan player costs you money as well, doesn't he?
Well, it depends what deal they do. They might have a deal where the parent club just wants to get them out and play games, you know. So, you know, we'll wait and see what happens there. You heard anything on a right back, Sean? Because that'll be the question as everyone's asking.
Nothing in terms of anything coming in. No, I think the plan at the moment is Finn Yeats will be the right back going into the season. I assume though that if a kind of loan option opens up, then I'm sure the club will jump at it to even just get another option at right back, because like you say, Finn Yeats is the main right back at the moment. Then behind him, it's Brad McKay, who's a central defender. There's no kind of other player who's specific to that position. It's one of those things, when you go from Finn Yeats to Brad McKay, they're just two completely different players. Yeats is all energy up and down. Brad McKay, like I say, he's a big burly centre-back. It's going up and down the channels isn't his forte. I mean, he'll do his level best to do so, but it's just not his game. Like I say, I'm curious to see if it's something we do in like later in the window, trying to get someone in on loan. It's nothing kind of concrete. It was just something that popped into my head when Brendan Rodgers came back to Celtic. I wondered if, I don't know, John McGlynn would maybe get on the phone to him, because they worked together. He worked under him as a scout at Celtic a few years back. So I don't know. Like I say, that's just something that popped into my head. There's no truth there or anything in it. It's just a wee thought I had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good shout though. When John McGlynn was on the podcast last season, he talked about Brendan Rodgers being a huge influence in him as well. So yeah, no, that's a good shout, Sean. Maybe he's going to get to grips. So obviously we're not talking about a Celtic first teamer, but they've got a B team, which I'm sure is, does Lowell's brother not play for their B team as well?
Yeah, Boston Lowell.
He's maybe going to get a shot this season. He's very highly thought of at Celtic, so he might get an even shot at the first team this season, so we'll wait and see. But he's a centre half, so
he's a centre half, right?
Yeah, but yeah, no, interesting, we'll see what happens there. Goalkeepers then. We didn't have a goalkeeper at one point, but we obviously were able to bring back Nicky Hogarth, who's obviously injured at the moment, and Sam Long as well as the young boy. It's Hayworth, isn't it? It's a Hayworth.
Hayworth,
yeah. So we've got the three goalkeepers there. Sam Long has been interesting. We saw what happened at Thistle just in terms of playing at the back, got caught out when Spencer then had to bring down the player, you know, whether that, I don't know if that was a goalie's point, Spencer's fault. For me, it was the goalie was at fault. You know, didn't look very confident at points, but I think against Peterhead, I mean, the opposition were a great save to palm one over. Thought looked pretty confident. I thought his distribution was really good as well. Nicky, we've not really had the chance because he's been injured. We've not really seen him yet, but I noticed that Sam Long's obviously wearing the number one shirt. Where do you think Ross he's going to go? I mean, bearing in mind we have had Nicky, and I thought he, you know, in his first spell here, didn't do much wrong and looked relatively solid as a goalkeeper. Where do you think it's going to be? Who's going to be the first choice when Nicky gets back?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I think it's going to be a really, really fascinating fight, to be honest. And I don't think it's a bad thing to have as two really, really competent goalkeepers. Because
two young goalkeepers is what worries me, though.
Well, yes, but I do think they are competent. See the games we've seen Long so far, I think he's commanded his box really, really well. He comes for almost everything in the six-yarder, which I quite personally like. He's made a couple of mistakes. So the Spartans game where he kind of fell into the player and dropped the ball, and obviously they scored from it, and then obviously the Thistle one as well. But I've liked what I've seen so far. I think we know what we're getting with Hogarth, so I think it's going to be a really, really difficult choice when Hogarth is back. I think Hogarth might be the preferred option. That's my gut feel from John McGlynn. But I think if Nicky was not to have a good game, I think we'd have an able substitute absolutely ready there.
Yeah, there was rumours obviously about Jamie McDonald coming back to the club and a goalkeeping coach and goalkeeper himself, but I don't think that I believe that deal was quite close to getting done, but I think Jamie thought just he could keep going and just as a player, so it'd have been interesting to have had him back. But I just feel that a goalkeeper, I always like an experienced goalkeeper, I always just like a safe pair of hands there at the back. But two very good young goalkeepers, obviously both got international credibility as well. Nicky, I think Nicky was Has Nicky been capped at under 21 level? I think he was certainly Jay's, his brother's current.
I know Jay has. I'm not 100% sure on Nicky, but like I say, he was quite highly rated at Nottingham Forest. I mean, it's quite incredible that first half of last season he was playing with us, and then second half of last season he was training with Keylor Navas. So it's quite a big shift when you're heading back down and training with one of the best goalies in the world who just rocked up at Forest.
It was interesting. I don't know if it was half time yesterday or before the game. I looked up to the concourse in the West Stand, and you had Nicky, you had Jay, you had Miles, and you had Craig. Craig's the Burns fan who I've seen and known for a long time at Falkirk games. But it was interesting, just like the whole garden bubble at the top of the stairs. Yeah, it's some feat from a family perspective. See the squad number thing you mentioned there, John, though.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Long is number one, I don't think is too relevant, because Hogarth's playing with the same squad number he had last season, which apparently was the same squad number that Jay had at Alloa as well.
Right.
I don't know the significance of the number. I think it's 31 or something like that.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's too much to read into the fact that he's got the number one.
All right, okay. We'll see what happens when Nicky comes back then. But yeah, I think Sam's got the gloves as it stands until, you know, at what point he makes a mistake, and then potentially Nicky comes in. We'll wait and see about that. Right, okay, so that's the team. You know, we talked, you know, we've got the squads fill out. We're talking, obviously, Jordan Allen. We'd like to see him get him, certainly from Falkirk Daft perspective, we'd like to see him getting a few goals because we're sponsoring his goal flashes. But Jordan Allen, obviously, again, frustrating me at pre-season that he's not tried him up front with McKeever and having the big man, small man combination, because we know from Jordan Allen how he operated at Clyde. That's where he got his goals when he was up with the top two. You know, he's had a full-time pre-season underneath his belt now. You just hope that, you know, does well for him. But, you know, I think every Falkirk supporter would love to see Jordan Allen getting a chance and getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, 100%. He's a player who's just a natural finisher, a real kind of menace around the box. One of those guys. He's not the tallest of players, but he's pretty well built. He's not shy of the physical battle. And I think he's probably the best natural finisher at the club, I'd say, in terms of just pure finishing ability. I think it's one of those things, though. He's a player who, it's difficult to see how often he's going to feature this season in terms of from the start, because I can't see him playing too much as a lone striker. And we tend to obviously play the 4-3-3 formation. And just I can't really see us switching too much to a 4-4-2 or some variation with two centre forwards. But no, I agree. I'd love to at least see it for a game or two, but whether that's the manager having to compromise his tactics or way of playing, it's one of those. I'm hoping it's that Jordan Allen does get some more game time, because I don't want it to be one of those ones that he ends up getting frustrated, ends up moving on, and we scores 10, 12 goals for another team in the division or a similar level of team, and we're like, oh, we've really missed out on one there. It feels like someone who's got goals in him, he just needs to get a consistent enough run in the team, whether he can do that off the bench or whether he can force his way into the first team one way or another.
Well, we all know that John McGlynn likes physicality, likes a big player, you know. Actually, on that, you know, one of the players that, you know, potentially we could have kept on, is Romain Burrell, who, you know, obviously is now at one of our rivals and scoring there at the weekend as well, I noticed. Apparently played quite well. He a big loss to you, Ross? I mean, rumours have it behind the scenes his attitude wasn't great. I think he'd seen near the end of the season, you know, when he came off the bench. But if he goes up to Cove and starts scoring lots of goals, is that something we're going to regret?
It's a tough one, Burry. I don't know. Personally, I'm not that fussed that he's gone. He did score a few goals for us. I just got really frustrated with him as well. At times, you just thought he doesn't look interested. And whether that's on the back of stuff that's went on behind the scenes, I don't know. It's obviously a concern if he goes up there and scores loads of goals, because Cove are our team that we don't want up there. But personally, no, I think the players that we've brought in are better than Romain Burrell. I think they'll get more goals for us, and I don't think they'll have, as rumoured, as negative impact on the squad and the club.
Okay. The other one we've got to mention is obviously Ola, young player. Do you think he'll be more used as an impact player this season, Sean?
I think so, from what we've seen so far. I mean, I really like Lawal. I think, again, another player who's got a bit of trickery about him, a bit of confidence, a bit of a swagger when he's on his game. But I think
can he have argument in him in the same side, by the way? That's just like, oh my God.
that's just kind of wild football, just no tactics, just vibes. But no, I think Ola's a really talented player, and I think he's someone who could be a first team starter for Falkirk. I think he could be a great player for us. I think one thing in the game against Spartans, I thought one thing that he showed was he seems to have came back a bit more of a well-rounded player. Some of his defensive work off the ball was really, really impressive. Playing slightly deeper, not playing the 10 role, just kind of being a bit more industrious and whatnot. But I think overall, kind of, I think he's going to be more used off the bench as that kind of, I don't know, throw the dice on 60 minutes of going, Ola, you go on and try and win the game for us, because I don't know, against a tiring defence, he's the type of player who can take the ball past one or two and pop it in the back of the net.
We saw yesterday just the last kick of the ball as well. You know, he had a good jostle defender, just felt sorry. He went for the old chip like Agumon did, just didn't come off for Ola.
Yeah, it was one of those things that was anything you can do, I can do just as well, but it just didn't quite pay off for him, which was a shame. But no, I think he could be a big player for us, but it's just a case of him getting into a rhythm and kind of finding his place in the team. But no, a really, really good, talented player, and like I say, someone who's got that bit of quality in the final third that hopefully we'll see more of this season.
Yeah. And finally, let's talk about the manager. Doesn't look like much is going to change. You just feel, and I hope it's not, I hope he's learned his lessons from last season. But the way we're playing, it feels very much like last season that we're going to have, and you just hope that there's not a Dunfermline, a Cove or a Queen of the South or Hamilton that are going to run away with it. Because I think we hopefully run away with it. But you just feel he's sticking with that 4-3-3. We can see that from the preseason. He's sticking with his favourites. We've seen Gary Oliver, you know, Stephen McGinn, what people said, Cole Donaldson. You just hope we've learned, do you know what I mean? And he's learned from this league how to play it. But early on, we'll get into the comments that the supporters have been made, and a lot of people not convinced that's the case, Ross.
No, that is the vibe, I think.
Too slow is a big criticism. Too slow, yeah. Too much for the build from the back. When seeing that in the second half yesterday, we went a bit more direct, a bit more pace.
Second half there, but is the norm to start a game on the cautious side? It probably feels like it is.
Should we? Especially at home, I think that was a big criticism last season. We were playing too deep, players too deep at home. Whether at Falkirk Stadium, we should be at them. We should be, you know, attacking from the off. Because teams are just going to come into the stadium like they did last season and stick in behind the ball. Maybe your Hamiltons won't, or your Queen of the South certainly didn't when they came up at the end of the last season. But you know what do you think he's going to do?
I think we will start games as he has been, as we've seen so far. I just hope, I honestly hope that our quality this year is enough, and it has to be, because everybody wants John McGlynn to do well. We all agree he's absolutely a great guy, brilliant football guy. The chat out of him's good, and he's passionate about the club and he wants the club to do well. He's always thanking the fans for the backing, which has been brilliant the last few weeks as well. Again, we'll come on to the ultras thing as well. But he needs to get off to a really, really strong start. And I really, really hope we do, because I think he needs it. I think the fans, like we've talked about with Cole Donaldson, the fans haven't forgotten May. They have not. That the performance at Hampden was a sore one. We then had Airdrie, which I'm still having nightmares about, to be honest. So
I'm not, mate. I was at Duran, so you know what I mean.
That's true. Uh-huh. But it's just, I pray we're in a, we're the strong team, we're the Dunfermline form that we're talking about, because I think he has to get, we and he has to get off to a brilliant start.
Yeah. you know, I wouldn't put you in the awkward position, Sean, because you've got to talk to John every week. We don't have to do that. Yeah, it's interesting. So that's the management. I think we're all agreed that we need to be. This is actually the last throw of the dice. This cup run saved this club last season. This is the actual we need to get up this season. So we'll see what it is. Let's talk about the supporters now. We have created the ultra section. Made a big difference, Ross.
Definitely. I think it's been brilliant. The first two official home games that has been there, I think it's been brilliant. Constant noise versus a very quiet stadium last year. Even games where we were winning last year, and some of the bigger games as well, like when you think back to maybe the second Dunfermline, even the first Dunfermline game, it was fine, but it wasn't like what it should have been. And I think this is going to make a huge difference. But massive shout out to every single man, woman, toddler, teenager, whoever's in that section, because it is definitely making a difference.
If you're over 25, you shouldn't be in that section.
No, right? Listen, I disagree. You know me,
here he goes. Here's Stone Island coming out. Here he comes. Give me a shot in the drum. Give me a shot in the drum.
No, I definitely would know what a shot in the drum. However, just to annoy you, I'm gonna start like our own mini ultras behind the
home. Better know.
Just to annoy you, John. But no, I think it's brilliant. I think you shouldn't have put an age limit on it. I saw a picture from yesterday and there was like a guy in his 70s in that section. Jesus. Fair play to him. Come on, son. But I think it's been great. The flags have been good and they've got their scarfs and what have you. I genuinely think it's been brilliant.
I have to say, I was worried about the drum because you know my views on the drum. And I was like, you shouldn't be having a drum unless you're Dave Grohl, right? That has always been my opinion. But it's been used appropriately, i.e. it's not been battered all game. It's just been used now and again to get something going, and that's fine. That is absolutely fine. But yeah, it does. And I just hope the guys can keep it going, because it can be very, very hard, I think. You know, there was points at the game yesterday where it was like, oh, especially if we're going to get beat. So I just hope the guys can keep it going. And you know what I mean? Anything that adds atmosphere and anything that it brings at the stadium is a good thing.
John, what's the club's feel? Obviously, I know you're not a spokesperson for the club, but in terms of like what you're hearing and seeing in the for the players and the staff, are they liking it as well?
I think so, yeah. I think, like you say, anything that's able to kind of create like any form of positive atmosphere should be welcomed with open arms. I mean, as you were saying, it's been a long time. There's been times going along the stadium and that, and just the atmosphere's been really lacking, as you say, even in some of the bigger games. But I think young guys, old guys, whoever it is, making a conceited effort to kind of improve the atmosphere and get right behind the team, I think it can only be a good thing. I think anyone inside the club, outside the club, is something that should be fully behind. Anyone who's trying to kind of help Falkirk Football Club in any way, shape or form, whether that's physically, whether that's kind of vocally, I think it's, yeah, can only be a good thing. And yeah, the young team were in really, really good voice the past couple of games, just especially the Dundee United game, just even looking over and just seeing that whole section standing up and whatnot with a big flag in front. Yeah, it was really good to see, and I hope long may it continue.
Ross has got his silk scarf ordered, ready to go.
Listen, I'm game for a wee scarf or two. Sean, obviously you talk about fans there, so you've done commentating now at Livy and Hamilton. Is it weird commenting in front of fans at games?
So just having fans around you and whatnot.
Yeah, just fans in the ground, obviously. Yeah. Livy and the Ackies don't have that.
it's one of those things. See, like at the end of games and stuff. The weird thing is when we're like wrapping up on the mics and that, and you just get people walking up the steps and looking at them, just standing with the mic chatting away. Like,
I was going to say hello to you yesterday because I went past you, Sean. I thought he's actually in the middle of talking. I was like, "Hey, Sean, you'll see you tomorrow on the podcast, mate." So I've missed that. Right, okay, that's the thoughts of us. See, right, let's get into the thoughts of you guys now. Daryl, we asked basically what you made of pre-season, what you've made of it so far. Daryl kicks us off saying the new signings are an upgrade, especially Spencer. Argument is probably the strongest centre-forward we've had in a long time, and McKeever is the physicality we've lacked. Ideally, we should have had a right-back, as it's in that area we've failed to address for years. Just need to stop the mistakes.
I would agree. Is Agyeman the strongest striker we've had since big Enoch Shirundi?
He probably is, you know.
I think so.
He's a big, strong lad. It's going to be interesting. The thing is you need physicality, and this is what we've learned since being in League One, is you need the physicality. We saw what Agyeman done against us when he ragdolled, that first 10 minutes against Kelty last season still gives me nightmares, but he ragdolled our defence. And you know what? I mean, I think left-backs are going to really, I think it's going to be the hardest game a left-back will have in this league this season is against him.
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those things when we're saying about the kind of like the tactics and like trying to play out for the back and this, that, and the other, and how we'll play this season. I think one of the key things, as you said, is just I think across the board with the signings that we've made, we've become a far more physical team. Like, if McKeever's a big, strong laddie, I mean, unbelievable leap on him. It's one of the most incredible leaps I've ever seen in a centre forward. He just hangs there and flicks the ball on behind for players. Agyeman, as you say, big, strong guy. And one of the things as well, like initially at the start of the season, you're playing Sean Mackey at left back, having Tom Lang in the centre. You just seen the back four becoming a bit more physical across the board. I think that with having Mackey there initially, I think that's kind of what John McGlynn was going for, is just, right, we need to be more physical. And you seen in the game against Spartans that Spartans were, I think they flung about 7 or 8 crosses into the box, and I think Sean Mackey headed every single one of them away. I think that was kind of the thought kind of going into this season, was to be more physical. And I think Sean Mackey will be a miss in that sense, but I think obviously with Leon McCann, I don't think you'll get many.
Well, he doesn't shirk away from a tackle or an aerial battle either. He's, for a wee man, Leon is pretty, you know, wins his fair share of headers, surprisingly.
Yeah, but just in general, I think we are a much more physical team across the board. Yeah. And whether we're going to still play, kind of trying to play it through the thirds and whatnot, you've now got more of an option to go route one, to go a bit more direct if we need to.
Absolutely.
Drew says, confident we'd go up if we had the money to sign a right back and another midfielder. With the current squad, it's going to be really tight. The main thing right now is we need to cut out the constant mistakes.
Yeah, Martin says, much the same as last year, eventually get the better of the lower sides after an inevitable scare, but can see Cove, Hamilton, Queen of the South taking advantage. Odd blip at home to say the Beanos or someone similar away and Botland must win games could be our downfall. You know, we saw that last year. This is a different season. Those slip-ups against Montrose, those slip-ups against Kelty, they can't happen, certainly at the Falkirk Stadium. You know, going away to these places, getting the odd draw, that's not the end of the world. But see what happened at the Falkirk Stadium last season with these little blips that we had, where we had that, where it was 3 or 4 games really playing well, and then we had a blip, 3 or 4 games, then I've had a blip. That needs to be ironed out, absolutely. And we should not be losing. And this is probably, you know, me being Billy Big Boss Falkirk supporter, but you've got probably the best, you know, in terms of the budget in the league. You know, we should not be losing to Montrose, Stirling Albion, Annan. These teams, we should be winning all these games at home. I mean, I'd like to see us go through the season and doing Dunfermline, where we're not dropping points at home. Did Dunfermline go unbeaten? No, they got beat once at home at East End last season.
That was about it, though, wasn't it?
These teams should be winning against at home. So that is, absolutely agree. We've got to iron that out, and that's the only way we're going to win this league.
Agreed. Robert says, little confidence McGlynn can get us up.
Also started.
Yeah. Also very disappointed with budget recruitment. Feels like we've been 2 or 3 players short since the third week of pre-season. After last season's cup run, government grant, and the season ticket sales, we should have blown everyone else away with our squad.
Yeah, but it's interesting actually. Hamilton have done some. I mean, we'll talk about just after we've got this actually Hamilton, Queen of the South, Cove in a minute. Actually, Homer's Twin says the team needs a right back and another midfielder to get us up. Mistakes and disorganisation and defence need to be drilled out of the team, and we dither at times. So more need for organisation, so everyone knows where to be and what to do straight away.
Cal says, never knew how good Leon McCann was in the air for such a small fullback. We need better legs in centre midfield. Cal Miller will be player of the year. I'm just wondering if that's actually Cal Miller that said that.
early prediction from Cal Miller himself. Campbell says, mixed bag. New players all look good and upgrades from last year. We need more energy in the middle of the park. Sorry, Skipper. Yeah, I think we talked about that. And we badly need to start keeping clean sheets, says Campbell.
Ross says, another Ross, McGinn's a man down. We were far better in the second half with Miller and Henderson in there. The new signings all seem to have added something, but right back still needs sorted. Yeats won't do, according to Ross.
Yeah. Michael, same shite, different season. Things need to change. I feel McGinn's not up to this. Apart from a right back, I think we've got enough in the squad to make a half-decent challenge for the title. However, not with this system or tactics. The slow build-up kills us and lets teams in.
Paul says, I'd love to be more optimistic, but the reasons we didn't win the league last year look still to be there.
Stuart, 4-5 goals conceded, our own mistakes, needs to be better, that will bite us in the arse this season. McGinn and Spencer, there's a time and place, but hopefully that shows McGinn, not these type of games against Peterhead, especially at home. Got to start next Saturday with the same side from the second half.
I would agree with that. Brian says, worrying, poor at the back, very little creativity and slow build up, a bit like last year.
And Jim finishes off saying, McGinn will be on a very sugary nail if we don't come out and win that first home game. Last season with Dunfermline and Airdrie was exciting with big games, big crowds and atmosphere. That won't be there this season. And we aren't going to have the Airdries, we aren't going to have those Dunfermline games, both home and away. So it is going to be, that could go on your advantage again though, because we're going to be the biggest support in that league. So when we're going to places, we're going to have take the biggest travelling support. We're going to have the biggest support at home. So hopefully that'll work in our advantage. You'd hope.
I think it has to work in our advantage. Sure. Like, Sean, you'll see it now because obviously you've been the last so many months looking at a different league, a different atmosphere, different stadiums and stuff. But surely in our, as John's just described, we have to give this our, like, 100% has to be our goal this season.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, when you're being the kind of so-called biggest fish in the pond, it's one of those things. I hate to, the whole big club thing, it's such a touchy subject, because it's one of those like statements that almost means nothing at the end of the day, because it doesn't matter how big the club is or the history of the club, if we are where we are right now because we've not won enough football matches, and that's the main thing that needs to change. But I think from a supporter point of view, as Falkirk fans always do, always travel on our numbers, and I think it can only be a positive thing, having that extra back in there. It's one of those, like, you look at League One this year, and this is probably the most kind of, aside from maybe like a Falkirk in terms of like club size, this is the most kind of League One looking League One in a long time, because obviously we've had like the Dunfermline, Raith Rovers, etc. over the past few years, and you do think that if we are, for like home games and away games, having a big support there, like say home games, having the young team there with making their noise, making themselves heard, travelling to places like Cove, Hamilton, Queen of the South, etc., then there's no reason why we shouldn't be going to these places with full of confidence that we can be picking up 3 points every week. Of course, football's not as simple as that. It never is. Otherwise, it would have been promoted from League One years ago. But yeah, I think it has to be the goal this season, is to go in and try and win every game. And I'm really hopeful that this season is the season, because 5 years is too long, man.
Yeah, that's too long. Thoughts on our biggest challenger, Ross? Who are going to be the ones that are going to be the challengers? Bookies, a lot of bookies have us as the favourites to go up, but who do you think is going to be the big challenge?
I think it'll be Aki's.
Do you think it'll be Aki's?
I don't think, yeah, I don't. I know a few people are saying Queen of the South and Cove as well, but I think it'll be between us and Aki's this year. I hope it's us that's above them, but I think it'll be between the two of us for the title.
They certainly brought some decent players in. They've brought in the boy from Kelty, is it Bajaris? From Kelty. Kevin O'Hara's went to Aki's as well. Who else did they bring in? I'm just having a look.
Henderson's another one, the forward to, yeah, he signed from Hearts, but he had a spell at Alloa, and I think he scored about 15 goals in about 15 games. Had a really good run a couple of seasons ago. He's one, I think he might be injured at the moment, but he's the type of player who could potentially be a talisman for them and score them a bunch of goals.
Yeah, Joe McGlynn, who we tried to sign as well, the Burnley under 21, Scotland under 21, Dylan Tate, of course, they got from Hibs as well. So they've certainly brought in
Hamilton as well at right back, and
yeah,
I think
apparently he was between us and Hamilton, and he went with Hamilton in the end, which is a shame because we could have really done a right back.
I think, see if you'd have got a Hamilton, see if you'd have got Tomlte, I think that would have finished off our starting 11. I do. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know, but Queen of the South worry me. I have to say, Queen of the South really do worry me. I think Marvin Bartley is going to be a very good manager. I think at the end, you saw at the end of this last season, Queen of the South really started, you know, in the turn of that, you know, really started playing well. Got some really good, obviously taking Craig McGuffey from us. They brought in a lot of players when I looking down at it.
You're slightly biased because he's on Clyde Super Scoreboard.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've not actually met Big Marvin yet. By the way, if you are wanting to watch Clyde Super One Super Scoreboard, you can do that now by subscribing to the YouTube channel from all this week. Little plug there for, because I'm now working on Super Scoreboard as opposed to the breakfast show. But I'm actually on that. I was speaking to Kenny Miller, who was at the game on Tuesday night there, and he's reckons we're going to finish off in the playoffs. He says we were too slow in midfield, which was probably interesting to hear from him.
Probably an interesting analysis, to be fair. On Queen of the South, one of those things, I think they've got a decent squad, but one player that they'll be missing is Rory Payton, who of course scored, I think he was the top scorer joint with Callum Gallagher last season. He's a player who was absolutely fantastic for them. Don't know who's going to kind of take on that goal scoring mantle for them. I think Alloa will always be kind of a tricky team. They're always pretty solid. Brian Rice always makes them really difficult to beat. Whether they've got enough to warrant a title challenge or a playoff challenge is up for debate. I think in terms of looking at challengers, in terms of pure like squad quality, I think Aki's is the main one. Cove look like they could be absolutely brilliant, or they could be like a shambles. I've got no idea, because of the amount of players that they've brought in from kind of non-league down south and whatnot. They could be great, or you never know. They could be really poor, not up to the level.
Bradley's got a brilliant record of bringing people from down south. So.
But I mean, the thing with Cove, and I mean, I don't know if you've seen Pi and Bravo. There's bit, you know, they are 4 million in absolute shit at the moment in terms of the, you know, they're being kept afloat, so we'll be interested, especially considering they've went full time. But yeah, you look down at actually some of the players. The thing about Cove, they've got a really strong experience. They've brought in Joe Lewis, haven't they, now, a goalkeeper. They've got Mark Reynolds there. They've got Fraser Fivey still there. They've got Mitch Megginson. Of course, Romain Barrell, we all know what he can do there. And just looking down, Paul McGowan's went there as well. They've got a really strong spin of the side. It will be interesting to see, have these players jump the shark a wee bit in terms of, you know, but it will be interesting to see what they do. And we all know Paul Hartley knows this league and has got them up before. So we will see what happens there. Hopefully they are shite though. So yeah, we'll wait to see what happens. First of all though, we have got Annan on Saturday at the stadium. What are we thinking? First game of the season at the stadium. You would hope, and like going back to the past, that it should be a win, and we need to win these games. So, Ross, what are you thinking?
Must win.
Don't know much about Annan. Obviously, this is the first kind of foray into League One. I certainly know Tommy Goss is a player to watch, having watched the playoff. Got a lot of goals for them last year. Max Kilsby, who was a really good player for them, went and joined Kelty, so he won't be playing for them. Willie Gibson, who we know, former Queen of the South manager, he's still playing for them.
Is he? Is that where he is now?
He went there. Aidan Smith as well. He won a lot of accolades for them last year as well. So yeah, it's interesting to see how we do against them. It's a total unknown quantity, I guess, but they've not won a game in pre-season. they've been beaten by everyone in their League Cup playoff group stages. So I'll be over.
Don't see that. I've
all beat them. Don't
see them waiting on a win.
So predictions, random predictions for Saturday, Ross.
It has to be a win. I think we've got goals in us. However, as we've seen, there has been the odd mistake. So on the basis that we don't keep the back door shut, I'm going to say 3-1 Bairns.
And what you reckon yourself, Sean?
Yeah, that was going to be my prediction as well. 3-1, I think. Same reasons. We've got good attack and play. We've shown that we can create and we can score. I still think that stuff to work on at the back, although things have improved in terms of bringing someone like Tom Lang in there. But I do think, you mentioned Tommy Goss, I think he's going to be If he's playing, I think he's going to be one to watch. He's a real handful, big physical presence. I mean, the amount of goals he scored from headers last season was ridiculous, from corners and stuff, which is, as we will well know, is not a strong point of Falkirk's, seemingly. So, yeah, I think 3-1's probably a fair assessment. I'm just hoping that if that is the case, it's not a case of us going a goal down and then having to come from behind. I hope it's a relatively comfortable one, but you never know. It feels like wishful thinking.
Yep. Absolutely.
What about you, John? What are you thinking?
I'll take a 2-0. I'm going to take a 2-0. I think Big Tam Lang will have Tommy Goss in the back pocket. We'll wait and see.
We'll hope so.
Well, listen, Sean, thanks so much for joining us on the first one. It's been a bit of a bumper edition. There's been a lot to talk about. We've not talked on this podcast for some time now. So, Sean, listen, you're doing a smashing job on the commentary. Brilliant, and long may it continue, my friend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I'm, like I say, really happy to come on. Anything, any excuse to run my job at Falkirk, I'm more than happy. Loving doing the Falkirk TV stuff. Had some really nice kind of like comments and messages from people and stuff. So yeah, really enjoying it. And yeah, here's hoping that the boys can do their business in the park. I'd love to be able to scream about us getting promoted at some point.
And you'll get bonus points from me for any wrestling references in Falkirk television commentary.
I have been asked from pals to try and drop a couple of references, and I've not managed as yet. I'm sure I'll find something somewhere.
Don't worry, mate. I'll help you out with that. Listen, Sean, thanks so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. And if you want to be a guest pundit, it's open again as it was last season. Please drop us a DM on our Twitter, Facebook, or you can drop us an email, just ross or john@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Do you know what we didn't get the chance to talk to Sean about? The new strip. How good are the new strips?
And he was sporting the away one as well, wasn't he?
He was. Do you know what I would say about the new strip, however? I don't think the quality of materials there it was like with Puma. I don't feel it is. And I think the way they printed the sponsor on, it feels like a wee Schneider that you've picked up from Turkey. But it's a cracking looking top. I just don't think the quality is just as good as the Puma stuff.
Well, my youngest, she's got the pink and black goalkeeper one.
Oh, the goalkeeper tops are banger as well.
Loves it. So I actually think they could have, like, can you imagine if that was like a weird third strip or something? I think that would have been quite popular as well.
Yeah, but I end up, this is the first Falkirk strip I have bought in years. I don't wear it to games, right? Because I'm not that guy. So I don't tend to wear the strips.
Just the fives.
Just the fives. I wear it down to the fives, along with my Falkirk Daft Captain armband.
Have you got it to hand?
I don't have it to hand. But we have to say that the seven of the sides, because I got one of the captain armbands of Falkirk Daft, that the man of the match will get it every sevens. It'll be them that will wear it the next again week. So that is what has been decided in the sevens chat. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's been a bit of a long one today. Hope you've enjoyed it. Just a lot to talk about. It's a massive season, as we all know, for this club. And we just hope that we don't fall at the final hurdles this season, that we can just, do you know what? See if we're cruising I'll be very happy for cruising and by February, and we're just, you know, enjoying our football. But I think it's going to be tough. The good thing is a lot of teams in there will take points off each other. And I don't think anyone's going to run away with it, hopefully us, as much as Dunfermline did last season. So fingers crossed. Remember, you can subscribe, rate, review the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter, Facebook, or the Instagram @FalkirkDaft. Get on YouTube. You can like and subscribe. Smash the like button, everyone. You can do that on YouTube. And also, if you want Kitty Dow, if you don't fancy the new strip, you don't fancy any of the merch, lovely merch they've got at the Falkirk Club Shop, why not get yourself some Falkirk Daft stuff? You can do that really easy now. Do that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. That'll take us to our Spreadshirt shop, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And do you know what, Ross? From the 2nd of August, 20% off everything. I'm going to give you that. 2nd to the 7th of August, you get 20% off all your Falkirk Daft merch. There you go. Get the dog bandanas, get the baby grows, get the t-shirts, get the hoodies, get it all there. like I say, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And remember, you can get in touch with the podcast at any time. If you've got any Falkirk related banter, you've got any gossip for us, we'd love to hear it. Ross or John at falkirkdaft.co.uk. And thanks again to our sponsors, Haldane Construction. Quality and loyalty is the heart of their business. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and you can get all the info on the bio below. I think that's just about wrapped up everything, apart from saying you can get on our Discord channel as well. Hit up Discord, we've got a channel there, there's a great community on there, a lot of chat about Falkirk. If you don't like Pie and Bravo or don't like 1F or any of the Facebook groups, there's a really buzzing community on our Discord channel that's talking all things Falkirk. I've actually been asked to set up a football manager section on the Discord as well. So lots of transfer rumours, miscellaneous banter, all there, and you'll get that on the Discord channel. The links are below. Anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. But listen, it's good to be back, Barry, isn't it? It's been, it's not been the same. I've had loads of messages over the closed season in terms of when you're coming back. I got stopped randomly in Asda one day, get accosted with this guy, and he's like, listen, I need to spend time with my wife on a Monday night now. I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, but we'll be back soon.
I know.
So, yeah, it's been nice to get a break, but it's always good to be back.
It is, and we'll be looking back at Annan next week and hopefully have 3 points in the bag, which would be lovely to start the season with that. But we can't go anywhere without finishing with the catchphrase.
Expect the unexpected, buddy. Let's do this.